to another epically cool edition of the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. I am your host or co-host, Mr. Dominic Vogel. Joining me as always is my dapper friend, Christian Redshaw. Christian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Doing well. I'm looking forward to having our two guests on today.
Two guests? Oh boy, I think this is the
Brady Bunch split screen for everybody. I think four different locations actually.
Wow, that's a first for us on the podcast. But itching to know who are the two guests that we'll be chatting with today.
So they're both from a company, a cybersecurity company called WireFire, and it's Roslyn Tan and Danielle Chang. So they both have their unique perspective on cybersecurity, and I can't wait to get into the mix of it.
Awesome. Well, no one needs to hear further from me. We'll take a momentary pause here. We'll bring both of them on, and we'll have that conversation. Stay tuned.
Danielle and Roslyn, welcome to our show today. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, so let's get to know you a little bit. Let's start off with Danielle. Your background is healthcare. Tell us a bit about your background and how you got into cybersecurity.
Yeah, actually, I was one of the account managers at TELUS responsible for healthcare. So let's be clear, I'm not going to operate on anybody. Let's leave Fair that enough. To the professionals. But I've always been working within large enterprises. So really got into some really cool things, starting within networking and understanding the value of having a robust network and supporting all the key initiatives that the clinicians need, like having EMR and all that good stuff that they need access to in order to treat patients. And then that gradually, and also my personal interest kind of led me into a cybersecurity. We'll get more into that a little bit later on, but it was a natural evolution for me to start helping our customers in a more meaningful way.
Nice. And then over to you, Roslyn, just really quickly, I understand that your background is in helping nonprofits with cybersecurity. So tell us about that and how you came to your current role in a company called WireFire.
For sure. I actually have a bachelor's in linguistics, and I started as the member relations officer for BCNet, a non-for-profit organization that hosted internet connection from 25 higher ed institutions in BC. After a few years there, our CEO, Bala Kathirasan, noticed that I was very into IT, and I became the internal help desk support for the team, and it slowly transitioned to cybersecurity. And since then, I just did all those types of chores and met up with Alon Goldberg, who introduced me to WireFire, and that's how I started with WireFire as their cybersecurity analyst.
I'll start off with Danielle here. So, when we're talking about the cybersecurity mindset amongst executives right now, and maybe let's focus on smaller, mid-sized organizations, especially when you're going through a sales process, do you find that there's still many small, mid-sized business leaders and executives who don't see the value in investing in cybersecurity until it's too late? You know, they'll often invest reactively after they've had ransomware or something. What's sort of the sales process like right now? Is it more reactive? Is it proactive? A bit of both? I'm curious to your thoughts.
I see it as a little bit of both, especially with small and medium enterprises. Definitely, if there has been an incident, that seems to be a catalyst to accelerate their interest in developing in this space. But I think a lot of the challenges that smaller organizations have is that, they're not necessarily that mature in their technology environment anyway. So they're not really in the know of what they really need to defend against, what their crown jewels are internally, and how to actually go about it. What I'm actually seeing a lot of times is a lot of people, a lot of security professionals are really doing what they think is the best thing for their organization, which is to go about buying best-in-breed technologies in the areas that they feel they need to. But the reality is, and my job as a salesperson, is that I would love for people to start thinking about their security programs more holistically, and rather than you know, buying up something that's really great for one purpose. You know, think about how do we get more value out of our technology? That's because really it is an investment into our own ability to operate as an organization without impacting our clients.
Absolutely. No, that's really good insight. You know, and I'll somewhat use that to dovetail into Roslyn's question here. So, I mean, at least focusing on the time period of during COVID, so, you know, since, let's say, mid-March, what's your insights or take in terms of what type of online threats have seen a noticeable increase? You know, I know we've seen organizations obviously move to more remote access. As a result, we see more remote access systems and mechanisms being under attack. Curious to your thoughts in terms of where the sort of the threat landscape has shifted during COVID.
I don't think it's changed a lot in the sense that human error is still the biggest threat. But going remote, the biggest challenge now is people don't have their maybe colleague beside them to check, hey, did you get the same email? Should I click on this? Whereas now they're judging it on their own and there are more people falling for phishing attacks.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that you you focus on like stuff like phishing assessments. When we're talking about that type of mindset within organizations, a lot of people will say, well, we don't see the value in investing in a phishing assessment because someone's always going to fall for it. Someone's always going to click on it. Walk me through why people need to see this more as a risk reduction activity. Why if we're able to go from maybe a 25% organizational click-through rate to maybe a 4% organizational click-through rate, why is that important? And you know, for an organization, how often should they be doing a phishing assessment?
Well, first of all, I think everything is trainable or learnable. And that's why people need these training platforms to just practice the mindset of, if I receive an email, I'm going to check first. I'm going to hover over the link, check the URL if it's legitimate. If I'm really not sure, maybe I should forward it to HR, get them to verify an announcement. Should I click on it or not, right? If you train enough people to do that, then you increase the chances that you won't fall for a real one. I don't think a lot of people see that, and it becomes a reactive thing where if there's a news that comes out that says, oh, another company fell for a phishing attack and they lost this much money, then that's when they're reactive and they call us and say, hey, can you help us out? But it's hard to convey that message regularly, and that's why we try to build good relationships with our clients, because then we can become their trusted advisors and actually tell them you shouldn't wait for an attack. You should prepare ahead of time because everyone is vulnerable, whether you're a small business or a big business. No one is targeting you in the sense that, oh, I want to attack McDonald's today. No, they just spray everyone, right, and wait for who falls for it. And that's how we present the value there.
That's interesting. Christian, I'm going to take one more question. But I'm all going to hear, but I wanted to ask Danielle something that also popped into my mind as Roslyn was talking there. At least during COVID as well, one of the things which we have seen is that there are more organizations, again, primarily SMBs, that are saying, oh, yeah, you know, we're worried about cybersecurity, but we want to wait until things get better and we'll invest later. In an age of a digital economy, and especially during COVID, more organizations have become virtualized and digitized. Why is it so dangerous to have that mindset of, oh, we'll invest in cybersecurity, we'll wait for a sunny day? Cyber criminals aren't waiting for that sunny day. You know, they're doing it right now. How do we convince businesses to go from, again, and I know this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, from that wait and see approach with cybersecurity to investing now and seeing this as an investment, not as a cost center?
Yeah, I'll put it this way. Things don't happen when you're prepared, right? They happen regardless of that. So just like I wouldn't drive around my hometown in Vancouver without insurance and hoping for the best and maybe, you know, I won't get into an accident, but I'll buy it when I do. That doesn't really work, right? The reality is, you know, we need to start thinking about security programs, not just as insurance, but a business enabler, right? You know, I'll give you an example. How would your customer experience team be able to support their clients a little bit better, knowing that they have verified this person through a secure way that they're talking to? How would you operate a little bit differently if the data that they had was, was secure? And how would they behave a little bit differently when they are given a phishing attack? If you had a regular education program, like Ross is talking about, right? So I really do think that organizations need to start thinking about it a little bit differently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mindset shift.
Exactly.
Danielle, I think you're alluding to something called cybersecurity hygiene. And I wanted to actually it over to Rosalind, because from what we understand from your role, although you are likely a very technical person, and technology is a big part of cybersecurity, there's also the people components and the policy components. What is cyber hygiene? What are the components of it? Can you just really break it down in a very non-technical way so that a business leader can understand what those ABCs of cybersecurity even are?
For me, I always use the metaphor of brushing your teeth. You don't brush your teeth when you find cavity. You brush your teeth to avoid getting cavity. So it's kind of like that. Cyber hygiene, and so, exactly, it's habits, right? You don't, a habit is not a one-time thing. You don't just buy a product and you're secure. Cyber hygiene needs to be practiced every day. You need to use 2FA for all your accounts, your personal and your professional one. You need to be able to think every email that you receive. Use your critical thinking skills if it's safe to open those emails or download the attachments. It's really habit-based, and that's why we say cyber hygiene, because it has to be done daily. It doesn't stop, and you always learn and adopt for new types of threats.
Yes.
That's how really, I
totally agree, and it's really interesting because an investment in best-of-class technologies, as I heard Danielle say, I believe, is so critical. But if we're not doing the cyber hygiene, then you're maybe not getting your return on investment. So you want to make sure that you're handling cybersecurity awareness on the people side, as well as having those effective policies.
I totally agree with that. And in my previous role, when I was working as their help desk support, yes, I installed the endpoint protection in their computers. Yes, I sent the phishing emails. But the most important thing that we did was to talk to individuals, have lunch and learns, and actually show them, okay, this is the threat landscape today. This is what you can do to contribute that we don't get attacked ourselves, or we don't fall for something like that. It's really talking to people. And I think personally, that was my strength that I brought onto the table, because, as I said, I had a linguistics background, so I'm better at talking to people than your average nerd.
Right.
that you are.
Yeah, we will
really
give you that for
better.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm a closeted nerd.
just maybe even extending on that for a bit, and the ability to take, again, the technical nature or perceived technical nature of cybersecurity, and again, being able to translate, again, whether you're talking to a technical person, speaking more technical terms, or if you're speaking to a non-technical business person, be able to communicate that in non-technical terms to them. Talk to me again about the importance, again, especially maybe even through the context of your organization at Wirefire, how important it is to deliver that message in the right language. You can also be talking about the same concept, but if you're speaking very technical terms to a business person, they'll go right over their head, and as a result, they won't engage. So how important, again, especially to Rosalind's point there, is that having the right communication and communicating to the right people in the right style? I would love to hear both your opinions on that. Maybe we'll start with Rosalind and go to Danielle.
It's really important. You talk differently to different types of people depending on their roles. When I would deal with our CEO, I would use language that I know he understands rather than using abbreviations and stuff, because we could hear the same thing and understand it differently. and they don't buy into it if you just throw them all these jargon. And so it's very important to adjust the language that you're using. It's basically a different set of vocabulary talking to a technical person versus talking to upper management. And you only get their buy-in if they both comprehend the same message that you're trying to convey using different words. That's my answer.
Yeah.
Very well said.
Beautiful. So this is a really important topic that actually Roz and I have been going over in the last couple of weeks, because she's actually in a developmental opportunity with me to learn about sales. And one of the first things that I shared with her is she's coming from a technical background. So we actually purposefully try to unlearn some of that. And the reason for that has the thing I keep saying to Roz is nobody wakes up in the morning getting really excited to buy a firewall, right? Sorry, guys. But that's the reality. People get excited about, this is going to protect my data. This is going to protect my organization. This is going to keep my machinery operational so that I keep getting more yield out of my mill, out of my mine, whatever it might be. And those are the things that matter to an executive, right? Sorry, nobody really cares about ISO, you know, from a business context or a NITS framework or a Purdue framework, but not to say that those things don't have value, of course, but it's about understanding your audience and their concerns and speaking to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So taking from that, Danielle, and this is, again, is a question to both of you, the idea of enterprises, large organizations, you know, you think of Microsoft or McDonald's or insert big name here, they're looking after their cybersecurity to a really high level.
Sure.
What mentality do they have that maybe the smaller organizations don't? Where they're maybe more vulnerable and falling down. What's the security gap between the huge organizations and the mid-sized organizations and the small organizations that you would like to do something about? How would you identify the main things that are missing there? And we can start with Roslyn.
I would say the primary things off the top of my head is just resources. Budget-wise, it's easy for them to get those resources right away. If they feel they need something, they would have the budget to back it up. Mm-hmm. Staffing as well, because you don't just buy something. You have to deploy it. You have to maintain it. And that's always the challenge of our smaller businesses that I've encountered. They may be open to getting managed services, but they're still concerned about the budget, right? They might spend $1,000 a month for that, and we may be able to deliver a few hours a month, but that might not be mm-hmm. sufficient. So it's resources, really, that's the key. And even though you can get management to understand the value, they can't yes. prioritize it.
So what do we do? What do we do for those companies?
Get them money.
What's the answer? Danielle, what is your take on that?
So I agree with everything that Roslyn said. In addition to finances, access to top tier people are, as we know, a challenge in our industry as well. I think the answer is to not be afraid to ask for help when you need it, right? Mm. Going back to the mindset of, yes, we can offer you managed services, sure. But, you know, I think a lot of companies don't understand that these are available to them today, right? When a lot of business leaders think about managed services, they think about the big, big IBMs, or even where I come from, NTT, where it's costing you, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, a month, whatever it may be. But there's mm-hmm. a lot of things and do for every budget, right? And this is what I would ask small business leaders to think about is, you know, what is the cost of something not happening or something breaking or something got breached, right? Is it worth protecting? Is it going to cripple your business? And if so, then perhaps we budget in accordance to that, right? So I think we need to help as small business leaders really understand what they could be losing.
Yes.
As a step one, right? And then we can figure out how we can help them. And sometimes that's a widget, right? Sometimes that's a managed services. The world's your oyster.
That's some pretty epic wisdom to conclude the show on. I think that was absolutely awesome insight from both of you. I know Chris and I are very, very appreciative of both of you taking time out of your busy day to join us today and grace us with your awesome wisdom. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you both.
Yeah, thank you.
So glad that we got both of you on.
Christian, that was a really, really engaging conversation with both Roslyn and Danielle. Curious to know what some of your key takeaways were from that conversation.
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad that we had them both on because they come from different backgrounds and have different viewpoints that collaborate together so well. The thing that stood out to me the most was the idea of the practicing cybersecurity hygiene with the analogy of brushing your teeth. You know, that message that even though they're involved in heavily in technology, they also understand that there's more to cybersecurity than just technology. You have to have good hygiene habits.
Absolutely. You know, and to me, one of the things that Danielle really hit home for me was, again, you know, no one gets excited about purchasing a firewall. You know, that mentality of how you make cybersecurity relatable, again, to ultimately people who will be purchasing and investing in cybersecurity solutions, at least from a technology perspective, and tying it back to the business, tying it back to supporting critical business processes. You have to do it in a way which is going to be pulling on the basically the heartstrings that people will want to invest in cybersecurity. You can't just say, oh, buy a firewall, it's going to make you more secure. You got to have the right messaging. I think Danielle laid it out really, really quite interestingly from that perspective.
Yeah, that's so important because business owners and business leaders are not waking up in the morning on most mornings out of the year saying, let's handle cybersecurity. I can't wait to tackle that subject.
Yeah, it's very unlikely, but you never know. But what I do know, though, is that we have an amazingly loyal listener and viewer audience here, and I want to make sure that we always thank them for taking time out of their busy week and their busy schedule to spend a few minutes with us. As always, please feel free to check out previous episodes at the Conversations That Matter YouTube page, as well as other awesome podcasts that fly under that family banner. Until next time, be well. Be safe, be awesome, and during times like this, mask up, be kind, take care of one another, and we'll see you next time on the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. Mm-hmm.